on top of Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, taking over from where Gordon Moore left off. So again, we're trying to bring counterexamples to the rules of Chizkin and Rabo, that anytime it says either Lo Se'achar or Lo Sochal, that it's not only an Isser Achila, but it's even an Isser Hanas. So the Gemara tries to bring a Raya, a Kasha, from Eber Menachai. So I v'harei Eber Menachai dechsev Lo Sochal ha-nefesh ima basar. It says you can't eat an Eber Menachai, part of an animal before it's shachted. Vitani, and yet we learned in a brace, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Minayin shlo yoshid adam kos yayin le-nazir ve-Eber Menachai le-Bnei Noach. How do we know that you can't pass a cup of wine to a Nazir, or an Eber Menachai to a non-Jew, because non-Jews are also usher in Eber Menachai. So how do you know you can't pass an Eber Menachai to the non-Jew? It's a problem of a stumbling block. But if there wouldn't be a problem of preventing a stumbling block, for example, let's say the non-Jew asked you to provide an Eber Menachai for his dog, and the dog of a non-Jew is allowed to eat Eber Menachai, just like the dog of a Jew, so then it would be permissible, and there'd be no problem of violating the Isser Hana. We'll come back to the writers for a second, just to finish reading the Gemara. So you see that there is no Isser of Eber Menachai, even though the Pasuk says Lo Sochal. So the Gemara answers, no, Shani Eber Menachai, De Iskish Lidam, that there's a hekesh between Eber Menachai and Dam, and as Rabbi Gorman spoke about last time, since we know Dam is Mutter Behana, so Eber Menachai is also going to be Mutter Behana. So what was the raya of the Gemara? That you see that leaving aside problems of lifting Eber, it's not a problem to give an Eber Menachai to a non-Jew. So in what way is there Hana there? You're the one giving it, you're not receiving. So you could have understood the Gemara based off of the Gemara in Amud Aleph that it's forbidden. The Gemara says Shalech Adam Yerech Lanachri V'Gedanasha B'Socho, that since the Gedanasha is permissible V'Hana, so it's permissible to send basically that as a gift or the entire thigh, whatever it is, to a non-Jew. But if there be Aser V'Hana, it would be Aser. Why? Because the non-Jew will, or whoever is receiving it, will feel indebted to you and will want to thank you and do things in return. So therefore, by giving a present, you really are also receiving. So if the present you're giving would be Aser B'Hana, it would be Aser to do that because it would also be causing you to receive Hana. So if you just had the Gemara, you could have learned the Gemara that way. Okay, but Tosos says otherwise. Tosos in the Amud says, Tema, Kevin the Be'ever Menachai Shel Nachri Mairi. This Gemara is not talking about when it's your piece of meat. It was the Goy's piece of meat. The Goy already owned it. As is clear in the Gemara there, it's not so clear how it's clear, the Mefarshim deal with it, but either way, Tosus thought it was clear that we're talking about not that it was the Jew's Ever Menachai, but it was the non-Jew's meat. So if so, so then what violation of Isser Hana could be there? You're not giving him a present. Again, I understand, Tosin, I understand on Amud Aleph, when you give whoever you're giving it to a present, so in return for the object, you'll get a favor in return. So then you're binena from the object as Aser B'Hana. But here, the object was already belonged to the Naju. All the Naju is asking you, can you please pass it down the table? It's true the Naju will now be indebted to you and will be thankful to you, but he's thankful for the passing. He's not thankful for the object in any way. The object was already his. So Tosfos says, though, no, Yeshlomar Kevan de Beschar Hayasir Lahoshit, the Asir Listakar Bisuri Hana. Since if he would pay you, let's say he'd say, can you please, I'll pay you to move it down the table, or I'll pay you to drive it from New York to Florida, the thing that's Asir Bahana. So that is Asir to do, as is clear in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. So too, even when he's not paying you, but if he'll be indebted to you, if he'll be thankful for you, that's just another form of, you know, positive benefit. So even that is Aser by Yisri Hana. So again, let's just review one more time what Tosus say. Tosus is Mechadish to us. He thinks basically it's coming out of the Gemara that not only to give something which is Aser B'Hana, to give an object which is yours and receive thankfulness in return, so not only that is that considered benefiting from the object, but even if the object is not yours, it belongs to that person, but he just asked you to do something with it, to move it, to whatever it is, so since he'll be thankful for you moving that object, that also is considered benefiting from the object. Okay. So that itself is Chiddush number one of Tosfos. Now, if you just had this part of Tosfos, it wouldn't be clear if that would be considered binena midorais or only midorabanan. But from the continuation of Tosos, it's clear that it is even midoraisa. Why? Then Tosos quotes a Gemara Bava Metzia. So just we'll say this to Gemara quickly outside first. I actually looked, I couldn't find a Bava Metzia because it's a little involved. But the Gemara basically says as follows.
I'm good.
Yeah. You don't? I look, I didn't see it. But okay, I mean, I can say it. It's not a. I don't need a. You sure? Okay, so the Gemara basically says as follows. The Gemara says, in general, so there's a mitzvah. Let's say you see the donkey of a Jew. That's, you know, the whole, you know, story. You know, it's too heavy and it's collapsing. So you have to go help unload it. So the Gemara says, even if it belongs to a non-Jew, and even if it's an Ovid of Odazar, you have to help. So the Gemara there has different possibilities why. So one possibility is, Kasar Balichayim Deraisa, there's a Din Deraisa, we don't want animals to suffer. So if the animal there is suffering, so you have to take it off. Then the Gemara says, what if you hold Tsar Bayi Chaim is not Daraisa? So then, maybe you have to take it off either because of Eva, that we don't want fights between us and the non-Jews, or maybe, you know, even more positively, we want peace. So
from the Goa,
you still do it, even if there wouldn't be an issue of Tsar Bayi Chaim. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa that says, but if the non-Jewish, the animal of the non-Jew is carrying yayin nesech, right, bottles of, you know, avodah zarah wine, so then you don't help, and it sounds like it's usher to help. That's the simple reading, I think. Ain't zakah glai, shouldn't help. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If you hold that there is no, Tzar Bayi Chaim is not doraisa, so then I understand why you don't help. Because there's no Tzar Bayi Chaim, and even though maybe in general we don't want to cause fights, but for Yayin Nesach, you don't do it. But if you hold Tzar Bayi Chaim is a Din Doraisa, so then you should have to help. So the Gemara says, in a Chanami, you really should, and the Braisa is talking about a different case. So Tosus is bothered as follows. Tosus assumes the reason why you can't take off the Yayin Nesach is because of the same issue, that if I take off his Yayin Nesach, Yayin Nesach is Zatzer Bahana, he's going to be thankful for me for taking off the Yayin Nesach, right, because the animal is about to, you know, like, collapse. So, and then I'll be considered deriving benefit from something which is Aser Bahana. So Tosus says, well, wait a second, so then Tosus doesn't understand the Gemara's problem. Gemara basically says, even if Tsar Bayi Chaim would be a Din Doraisa, but still, it's Aser Doraisa to be Nena from Yayin Nesach. I can't do that. I'll be considered being Nena from Yayin Nesach. So what is the Gemara saying that I should do it if Tsar Bayi Chaim is Doraisa? So I added a few words in there. Tosus just says, is just bothered by why should you have to do it. But Lechor clearly is assuming that this would be considered being Nena Midoraisa, because if it would only be considered a Hanan Midorabanan, then the Gemara's question makes sense. If Tsar Bayi Chaim is a mitzvah deraisa, there's only an Isser Midorabanan, then at least it makes sense why, you know, the Gemara would think you should do it. So Tosus answers. Different answers. Let's say the first answer is, well, he says, maybe since you're kind of forced to do this because there's a mitzvah to do it, and you're really not trying to be Nena, so we'll see later on there's a sugya that sometimes when you're sort of being forced to smell something or enjoy something, but you really don't want it, then it's not considered a hana. So he says that's why you could take off the Yayin Nesach from the animal, because you really don't want to do it, you're just doing it because the Torah is impelling you to do it, and you're not trying to get benefit from it, so then fine, it won't be considered violating the Isser Hana. But the Etzem, that would be considered Binena, and again, even Binena Midiraisa. Now, so this is even going further, Lechora, than Tos previous Chiddush. So Tos previous Chiddush is, let's say, by the Argamara of the Gidanasha. So the Goy owns, or I'm sorry, the Aver Menachai. So the Goy owns Aver Menachai over there. So he's saying, can you please bring me my Aver Menachai? So we said, and if you do that, since he's going to be thankful to you for doing that, that's considered Binena Midiraisa. So he said, even that's a Chiddush, because there he's not thankful for the object in any way, he's just thankful for the pu'ula, for the maisa you did. But yet, Tosus seems to think since you couldn't do the maisa without that object, so it's considering Nana Midiraisa. But the Chamor case is going really even a step further, because there at least the maisa is for the purpose of the Aver Menachai. The reason why I'm asking you to do this is because I want the Aver Menachai. Here, the reason why you want to help him is because his animal is about to collapse. It happens to be the thing that is making the animal collapse, is Yayin Nesach, but that really is even more incidental to why he wants you to do this and why he'll be thankful. And yet, even that, Tosafot seems to think that that's considered binena from binena midoraisa, and would be considered violating the Sarana, because again, you will be benefiting, he'll be thankful, and that couldn't have happened without this object, which is Asar Bahana. Just to explain why that's more of a chiddush, there's a famous ritva in Sukkah, which asks, he says, I understand that the Gemara says that mitzvah lav lahanusnenu, that we don't view the act of the mitzvah as a hana, it's an act of servitude. You're serving Hashem. It's not, we actually don't look at it as like zuchus, amazing thing you're doing. We looked at it as a maisa avdus, and therefore it's not considered, it wouldn't be considered an act of hana, and if, let's say, the shofar is asrena, so it's not considered being that. Right. But Ritva says, but because I'm using this object, after Mev Asrim Shana, I'm going to get Schar and Olam Haba. Schar and Olam Haba is obviously Hana. You get, that's not a Maisa Avdus. So I'm using this to benefit, basically. So he says, basically, that's, you know, indirect. It's not coming from the object. You use the object to do the mitzvah, which is a Maisa Avdus. And then you know that, by doing that, you know Hashem will grant you Schar, but that's really, but, you know, it's coming not directly from the object. So you see that when hanas don't come directly from the object, even though the hana is like setting a chain of, you know, in motion that will eventually cause you to get hana, that's not considered, you know, binena from the object to violate the isser. So you could have thought the same thing here, that, again, it's true you're using the object to make him so he'll be thankful for you, and then he'll, you know, that will be a hana. You might have thought that's not considered binena from the object, but apparently Tosafot thinks, no, that's direct enough from the object to be considered a hana. Okay. So again, so Tosafot's chiddush really is just that all these things would be considered violations of the Isser Hana, and again, it's clear he's saying even on a deraisa level. Okay. Now, what Tosafot basically seems to be taking for granted is that selling an object, actually just selling an object, selling and saying to someone, here's something, it's Asar B'Hana, give me $10 for it, that certainly is would be an Isser deraisa for if it's an Isser or not. Even if he's just thankful in return for the object, that's Asar Midaraisa. Certainly if we're setting up an exchange for money, that would be Asar Midaraisa. So again, just a chazard. So there really are three levels. One is when you're just actually selling the object. I'm giving you this object, and then you'll give me money. And even that, in theory, you could have imagined that's viewed as indirect hana, because you're not, the benefit is not coming from the object, but even that's Asar Midaraisa. Then it's Asar, even if he's asking you just to bring him the object he already owns. And then even if he's just asking, can you please remove that object so my donkey's going to collapse, even that is considered violating the Isser Hana. Fine. So that's from Tosafot. Now, basically just to show that different Rishonim argued on different, you know, degrees of Tosafot. So that Gemara and Bamatzia, so if you look in the Shita Mekubetzes, he quotes the Ritva, which just Mefurish argues on Tosafot. Tosafot assumed that the reason why there's an isser, there's a problem to remove the Yayin Nesach from the donkey, is because again, that's considered being nene from an isser hana, because he's going to be thankful. And it doesn't matter if it be Yayin Nesach, or if there is very heavy, you know, whatever, Basar V'Chalav, or Orla, or Klai Karam, or any other isser hana, it would be usser for you to remove it from the chamor. So the Ritva just befer, she doesn't say Tosafot is wrong, but he just explains the Gemara that there's a special Isser by Yayin Nesach, which I honestly don't know so much about, Mesech Zvodah Zarah, of Rotsa B'Kiyumo Shal Yayin Nesach, that the special Isser that to in any way help Yayin Nesach to continue to exist, so more than any other Isser Hana, so or non-Avodah Zarah Isser Hana. So that would be the problem here. So it's not because you're benefiting because he's going to be thankful to you. No, it's because if you don't do this, the Yayin Nesach might fall over and break and it'll be destroyed. So why are you helping Yayin Nesach remain? You should want Yayin Nesach to be destroyed like a Avodah Zarah. And therefore wouldn't apply to any other Isser Hana. And it might be that he argues in Tosafot because, again, that's not considered being Nana from the Chafsa. He's just going to be thankful for the Pula. And even the Maisa, it's not a maisa that he's asking you to do for the isser. It's just, you know, so his donkey doesn't get hurt. And Rashi also seems to argue here, because Rashi here writes, what does it mean if it's yayin nesach eino zakok la? He says, if Sarbar Lechem is not Midoraisa, so then I understand why you don't help. Why? So Tosin Riffa would say because it's Usser to help, for whatever reason. Rashi says, the time of Mishum Eva, because the only reason to help is really because of Eva, because if you don't help him, he's going to be mad at you. Mishum Hachi Ein Zakukla, so therefore, you don't have to help him. Shiachali Hishamate, because you can get out of it. Volomar Dever Isser Hulanu. They'll understand if you say, I'm sorry, that's you're a Avodah Zara wine, and, it's a different religion, I'm not allowed to help you. So Rashi implies that it's not that there'll be an Isser, it's just that now you have an excuse, and you're not obligated. Generally speaking, Mishum Eva, you have to help, because if you don't help, he's going to be mad at you. But if it's Yainesek, he'll understand why you're not helping, and therefore you don't have to help. So Rashi seems to learn the whole Gemara, is just not even that there's any Isser whatsoever, not a different Isser, just no Isser. And Ein Zakukla doesn't mean you shouldn't, like Tosus and Ritva, it just means, again, you don't have to. But once again, he's arguing on Tosus, and presumably because something so far away would not be considered being benefiting from the Isser Hana. Now we said, sort of like, what's Pasha to Tosos, and he's not even discussing, is the fact that it's Usser to actually sell. Tosos is all discussing when is it Usser if he's just going to be thankful. Again, if I sell this to get money, certainly Usser. But the truth is, even that is not so Pasha. Basically, all the Rishonim agree to that. It's certainly Usser to sell in Isser Hana. The question is it Usser Midoraisa or Midorabana? So the truth is, there's a Gemara in Nidarim, and the Gemara there has a question of basically if you say, make something asar on yourself, you make a neder. So basically the Gemara says, if that item is, let's say you give that item to someone else and he gives you something in return, you swap with it with someone, so is the new item also going to be asar? And can you, let's say, use that item then to be Makadosh a woman, or whatever it is. So the Gemara ends up basically saying that certainly this is B'diyaved, it's Mutter. The only question is, L'charchila, our only question is it L'charchila Mutter? So most Rishonim learn as follows. It's obvious that you can't sell or trade the item that's Asur B'Hana, because you'll be getting something back, and you'll be benefiting from the Asur B'Hana. The Gemara meant that certainly Bidi Evid, let's say if you married a woman with the new object, would be mutter. The question is, can you lechadchila marry the woman with the new object? Certainly it's usher to trade. The Gemara says something is, but maybe once you've traded, it's now mutter lechadchila to use a new object.
Right, I'm confused. What are you talking about?
So let's just take Nadarm out of the picture. The Gemara basically says that, let's say if you take something which is Asur B'Hana, let's assume right now we'll just equate Nadarm and Shar Isuri Hana. If you take something that's Asur B'Hana, and you sell it, and then you want to marry a woman with it.
So with what?
With the new object. Let's say the money. You sold an Isur Hana, you got money, then you married a woman with it. So can you do that?
So wait, which Isur Hana are we talking about?
The Gemara is talking about Nadarim, but it brings Rayas from yeah.
So what's the Shiloh? What's the problem?
So that's Machlokes Rishonim. So I'll say it one time. So the Gemara ends up bringing in a Raya from the Mishnah and Kiddushin. It says that Mekadosh B'Isuri Hana is not a good Kiddushin, but Imachar B'Kiddush B'Demayim, it is a good Kiddushin. If you take Basar V'Chalav or Orla Klai Kerem and sell them and get money, then marry a woman with that money, it's a good Kiddushin.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, obviously, b'di'evit, everything's good. We are only asking l'charchila.
And why l'charchila is a problem?
What does it mean we're asking l'charchila? Most Rishonim understand it to mean that obviously you can't sell the Isser Hana.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's definitely Asser. The question is, with the new money that you've gotten, is there now presumably an Isser Midrabanan to l'charchila use that money?
Uh-huh.
But if you would use it, obviously the Kiddushin would be a good Kiddushin.
Uh-huh.
So according to, basically, that's most Rishonim, the way most Rishonim learn, it's obvious it's Usser to sell the Isser Hana. But the Rush learns that the Gemara is asking, no, obviously B'di'eved, if you've sold it or traded it, so now what you have, the new object will be Mutter. But we are wondering, can you L'chadchila trade, or can you L'chadchila sell an object? So according to the Rush,
well, why should you be L'chadchila permitted to Isser Hana?
So the Rush apparently held that, at least Midoraisa, that that's not considered benefiting. That's like a side benefit. It's indirect. I mean, you're not benefiting from the object itself, right? It's that I'm doing something with it so that someone else will give me money. Okay, I motivated him to give me money with this object, but at the end of the day, we don't view it as I benefited from the object. I benefited from the person. He was the one who gave me his money.
So wait,
his own
according
free will.
To the Rashi, allowed to sell a Surihana.
It will be. It's a Karna him. It comes out as a suffix in the Gemara. Midaraisa.
Yeah.
Midaraisa.
Okay.
Right. So it is like this. What? So. Right. I think everyone agrees with Rabbanan Sasser. The question is Midaraisa. And the Chassam Sofer thinks there's a Rabban who actually thinks Maskana that it's Mutter Midaraisa to sell a Surihana. But the Ramban doesn't. Everyone basically says the Ramban doesn't say it. But if we get time, we'll go back to like which Ramban he's referring to. But anyway, so that Chassam Sofer was talking about the Ramban, and Rav Chanan here quotes this Rush. So they ask, how is it possible to? So fine, I understand me Svara. You want to say such a Svara that Midaraisa that's not benefiting from the object? But isn't it clear from the Gemara that's wrong? Why? Because the whole source of this whole discussion that there's an Isser Hana by other Meichal Sasuros is that from the fact that the Torah went out of its way to say that an Avela you can give or sell to a Goy, so the Torah is saying, Avela is Motar Bahana, but by implication everything is Aser Bahana. So you see that selling is Aser Bahana, because
otherwise
there's no deal to make. You could sell Midrash, you could sell any Isser Hana. So Rav Chanan and the Chassam Sofer both say, you have to say for this tzad in the rush, or maybe if such a Ramban exists, that Chassam Sofer thought it existed, that the diuk, the Gemara's diuk from the Pasuk, is not that it's mutter to do such a thing. No, maybe midaraisa, it's mutter to give someone Isser Hana if, you know, he's willing to give you money in return for it. The diuk was that the Torah calls it a mecher, o machor l'nachri. And I'll have a chalos mechira. Why? Because if something is aser b'hana, so be like, this is a whole lot of more to talk about this. I'm not going to talk about it, but it's clear from the Gemara that if it's the Gemara in Daf Amud Beis says basically, if something is aser b'hana, I can no longer be makne. Some maybe say it becomes hefker and I don't own it, but even if I own it, I don't really. By the Torah saying this is aser b'hana, this is off limits, to some degree I lose some of my control, some of my violence, and I can no longer buy, sell, be makna konet anymore. So let's say I have, this is aser b'hana. So even if I find someone who's willing to take and give me $10, that wouldn't be considered a mechira. You know, there wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be bound by the rules of ona and whatever halachs there are of a sale, because it's not a sale. It's just, I'm giving you something, you'll give me matana in return, and we're both being nice about it, and we'll do this. Wouldn't be a sale. So the diuk, according to this Rush and the Ramban, is that how do we know that Nevela is Mutter Bahana? It's not that because it's permissible to give it to the Goy for money, but it's in the fact that the Torah calls it a Mechira, so then obviously it's not Aser Bahana, because it wouldn't have the status of
but
Mechira.
You know, there's a famous Rambam by Chametz Matzah, where the Rambam says you don't get Malkus for by Rabbi Matzah, because
right,
it's a Lav Shein B'Maisa.
Right.
So the Rambam says, however, he says this explicitly,
yeah.
He says, however, if you would do the mice, and he gives the example of selling the chametz.
I think he says, if you're Konad, I think he says.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
whatever.
If you're Konad, whatever, okay, I'm not sure
right.
What
it is
for us.
So
we're just,
says,
Rock and I are actually doing this today.
So you're doing a mice, then
right.
You get Malkus.
Yeah.
So you see a riot from the Rambam that you could do a Kenyan by
okay, so yeah, so I will, this will just be a tangent, but
yeah.
It happened to me, Rock and I are actually doing this the past few days.
Yeah.
So Rishon Acharonim discussed it. So just the I think it's a note of Yehuda already, and the Chazon Ishakh says that say enachnami, and that's part of the chiddush that the Gemara says that shein b'rishus levasan kazu b'rishusan, meaning enachnami chametz is really an exception. You really shouldn't be considered owning it, and then it wouldn't be possible to have bali rabbi bali matze.
Uh-huh.
So obviously, from the fact that the Torah said it's aser to own it, the Torah is basically saying this is a rule breaker.
Uh-huh.
And so they say so the same way it's a rule breaker that
you got right.
But the Rishonim in Avodah Zara, they basically address and they say something different. Basically, just one quick answer because it's easy to say over. The Ran says that.
This is the Ran in Avodah Zara.
The Ran in Avodah Zara says that. Because basically, there's a problem I'm sure there'll be later chaburs about this, because there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah which says that if this was the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, so as long as it's the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, so another non-Jew can come and be mevatel it.
Yeah.
But if a Jew picks it up and is kona it, now it's the Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, and now it's in a Batel Olam. So Rishonim ask, how could he pick it up and be kona it? It was already Aser Behana, is it a Avodah Zarah of Shel Akum, so you can't be kona it. So the Ran says that you're right, in general, Orla, you can't, if there's Hefker Orla, you can't pick it up and be kona it. But Avodah Zarah Shel Akum, of a non-Jew, since it has the potential of becoming batal, or going to be mevatel it, so as long as it's Avodah Zarah Shel Akum, it has potential to be a monetary object, it has potential for the Isser to go away, so therefore you can be Zochen it. But an Isser Hana, which cannot go away, is Lol and Vaed, and he says, and that's Pshat, why can be Kona Chametz and Pesach?
Because you can move
on. Right, and at least, and even on Pesach, at least before you were Kona it, it would be Mutter La'achar Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are other, meaning people, meaning their answers, but I think, everyone agrees, I think, to the principle that if you have an Isser Hana, which there's no way of becoming Mutter, and, you know, you can't, there are no other special, right, then you can't be Kona.
Mm-hmm.
So, fine. So that's how they explain the diuk. Right. So then Rav Chanan just points out that there's a Tosos in Ksuvos that says as follows, that the Gemara says what happens if there's a shor nisko. So your shor killed someone and it was paskin, the shor is guilty, and we're going to stone it. So if I now steal the shor and sell it, so I'll be chayv to pay you, and whatever, the Gemara figures out the case where the shor was still worth money, and I'll even be chayv dal of the hay, because I sold it, and whatever, that's what the Gemara says. So Tosis asks, but how can you sell a shor niskal? It's aser b'hana. So one of Tosis' answer is that in a chanami, if you sell it to a Jew, can't sell it to a Jew because it's aser hana to everyone, and it can't be zochasim, which is aser b'hana. But if you sell it to a goy, it will have a chalos mechira, because since the goy can be zocha in it, so Tosis thinks even though the machnet doesn't really have control over it, but since the kona can be kona, it will be considered a mechira. And Tosis has other answers to this problem. That's one of Tosis' answers. So Rav Chanan says, according to Tosis, you see that even something which is aser b'hana, if you're selling it to a goy who's mutter bo, it's considered a mechira. So he said, Rav Chanan basically says that you have to, he doesn't see any other way out of it. You have to assume the Rush argues on that answer in Tosis, because again, the whole way we're reading the Gemara according to the Rush is that the diuk is, it must be mutter b'hana, because otherwise it wouldn't be considered a mechira. Because if it's aser b'hana, it won't be a mechira.
But Tosis is not Tosis, so.
Right, and we're talking about selling to a goy. Tosis is not so. And I mean, Tosis is a chiddush. It's not, you know, that's not, you know, so difficult to assume the Rush argues on that, but that's what Rav Chanan points out. Okay, fine. So now, so we saw that Rishon B'Metzia argue on Tosos in terms of, is it considered getting hana, but when he asks you to remove it from the chamur, and that is more mainstream. Rashi, the Ritva there. The Rush at least seems to think at least it's a possibility in the Gemara, that even mamash selling would be mutter midaraisa. Okay. But Tosos thinks everything is aser and aser midaraisa. So, last point, very, very interesting question and answer. Rabbi Akiva Eger asked the following question. He says that apparently you see that when something is aser b'hana, you can't, even for free, but certainly be paid to do something with that object. Right? So, you know, please pass the gerhanasha, right, or whatever it is. Right, in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah says, like, someone hires you to move your yayin nesach. Rosh Hashanah refers to it as the yayin nesach truck driver, Gemara. Right, so you can't be a truck driver to move yayin nesach.
Mm-hmm.
So Rekhavir asks, wait a second, a mace is aser b'hana. So how is it, and minhag of Klal Yisrael, is that people get paid to bury a mace or take care of a mace or whatever they need to do for the mace?
Service, yeah.
Right? Okay. So how are you allowed to do that? That should be considered being nene min hamace.
Mm-hmm.
So if you assume that it's midrabanan, the sister's midrabanan, so then it's a little chiddush because no Gemara, you know, or at least for said it, you could say, okay, this whole thing, you know, to provide a service with an Isser Hana is an Isser Midrabanan, so the Kavod HaMeis, they didn't, you know, apply the Isser Midrabanan there. Fine. But if you assume, like Tosos, that it's an Isser Midraisa, so then how, you know, how do you do such a thing? So Shlomo Zalman and Rav Sternbach both answer the same way. And they say that you see that there are two types of Isuri Hana. There's one type of Isuri Hana when the Torah said this is Asur B'Hana because it's just ra, it's bad, it's gross, it's Asur. So Basur V'Chalav, Klai Karam, Orla, all these things, that the Torah is saying this is off limits because I don't want you involved with it. But there's some things, that's one type of Isuri Hana. They're saying there's some things that are Asur B'Hana, not because the thing is bad in any way, just opposite, it might be that it's very holy, but since the Torah wants it directed for a specific purpose, so therefore the Torah says everything else is off limits, everything else is Asur, to ensure that the goal that the Torah wants will be fulfilled. So for example, let's say Karbanos, Kadshim. So there, the reason why there's an Isur Hana on Kadshim is not because this is bad, just opposite, it's because it's holy and Hashem wants it only used to, you know, serve Hashem. So in order to ensure that, Hashem says everything else is Asur. So they want to say that the mace is similar. The reason why mace is Asur B'Hana is not because it's bad in any way. It's not because, I was just saying, it is tame, but that's not why it's Asur B'Hana. It's not because it's bad. It's because the Torah wants to ensure that the mace will be buried and taken care of, and there'll be nothing holding it up, and you won't use it for any other thing, and it would be to use it for anything else, it would be a bizayon to the mace. So therefore, everything else is Asur, and the only thing you can do with it is bury it properly. So they want to say, if the only reason why it's Asur is to ensure that it's buried properly, so any Hana, which is derived from burying it, so that was never Asur, because the Isur is Hanos that prevent Kavura. So if the Hana is by burying it, you know, the person will be thankful, or by burying it, or if they'll pay you, then you'll take care of the mace more quickly and better. So, such Hana is mutter. And then I saw someone refer to, there's a time in the stencils, it said the new stencils, I'm not sure, maybe it's in those stencils also, that the Rambam says that once a shor niskal's paskin is a shor niskal, so it's now Asur B'Hana, and now if that shor goes and damages, so the Bailim are not responsible anymore, because basically, again, once the Torah says it's Asur B'Hana, basically the Torah is removing it's off limits, you're at least not fully the Bailim anymore, maybe you're not the Bailim at all anymore, but the Torah is taken away from you. So the Torah is taken away from you, so you're not responsible for it. So they ask, but it's a Mefersh Gemara and Baba Kama, the corner of Yossi Aglili, that Kadshi Kalim are considered Mamun Bailim. So one of the nafkaminas is that you're still responsible for that animal if it damages. And even according to Yossi Aglili, the Behema is Asur B'Hana, there's an Isra Me'ila, Kadshim are Asur B'Hana, so why don't we say it's Asur B'Hana, it's off limits, it's not really fully yours, so you're not responsible anymore. So apparently Rav Chaim answered basically the same yisod, that there are two different types of Isuri Hana. Some things are Asur because they're bad, and those Hashem are saying they're off limits, I'm taking them away from you. And therefore, let's say by Shor Niskal, Hashem is taken away from you and you're no longer responsible if it damages, because you're not really the Bailim anymore. At least not to the same extent. But by Kachim, the Torah's not saying this is bad, the Torah's not saying this is, you know, I don't want you involved with this. It's just that in order to ensure that it is offered properly, Hashem said just any other benefits are Asur. But you remain, this is what it's quoted as saying, but you remain the Bailim completely. So therefore, by Kadshei Kalim, as opposed to the other type of Isuri Hana, you'll still be responsible if the animal damages. Okay.